Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we've been going through this series this summer, This Changes Everything, focusing on our Corinthians lesson the last few weeks, and we move into this week continuing on with that as well. If there's one thing I think we've learned as we've been journeying through this book of 2 Corinthians about Paul, it is this. Paul is an intense and dramatic and emotional guy, right? Over and over we see this in him. And today is no different. At the end of this long stretch of dramatic images and experiences that Paul lays out for us, he says this, "Our hearts are open wide to you. Open your hearts wide to us as well," in dramatic, emotional, and intense fashion that Paul is so good at. It seems that to get into ministry with Paul is to sign on for a high adventure, emotional roller coaster to go through this with him. It's sort of the opposite of my experience growing up when I think back on my life. Growing up in a small farming community in Iowa, good old German Iowan farmers are known for many things, but emotional expressiveness is not one of those things. In fact, I knew so many uncles and neighbors who seemed to pride themselves on how little emotion they could show on the outside. It's like they had this lifelong staring contest they were a part of to see who could make sure not to blink first and show an emotion on the outside. They were, in this way, a plea like Paul's to dramatically and emotionally say, "Open wide your hearts to us." I can imagine some of these folks I grew up with greeting Paul's invitation with a good old-fashioned grunt. Seems like my grandfather was one of these folks. My grandfather, I think, was technically bilingual because he spoke English, but he also was fluent in the language of grunt. He thought he could communicate anything with just the mere nod of a head and a grunt. If you did something wrong and he was angry, you'd get a hmm. If you told him the funniest joke he'd ever heard, you'd get a hmm. He was very expressive, as you can see. But I remember being baffled as a child. All of these stoic old farmers that I had grown up around, as I got older and I started to go to weddings of neighbors and cousins and things, I was always confused because I would look and they would walk their baby girl down the aisle at the wedding, and I would turn around and see these old stoic farmers who I'd never seen even crack a smile in their lives, weeping like a fire hose and totally losing it. I had to wonder what had happened, what's going on here. It seems that they had opened wide their hearts to the love of a child, and then in doing so, they inadvertently took this risk that was involved of experiencing this overwhelming flood of emotion, of joy, of beauty, of wonder, of love. There's this emotional intensity in Paul's writing today as he makes this plea to the Corinthians. He runs on, and he keeps going with this list of these great, amazing things, of all of the goodness that disciples can experience in following Christ, and he gives us this almost exhaustive list of beautiful, positive things. He talks about how this life can be one of purity, of knowledge, of patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, the power of God. He doesn't stop there. He goes on. Honor and good repute, always rejoicing, making many rich, possessing everything. Open wide your hearts to us, he says, to this life. Who wouldn't want this kind of life with all of these things encompassed? Imagine a life that was filled to the brim and overflowing with these things that Paul talks about. A life where you're filled with patience and you never are short on temper or with other people. Imagine a life that's filled with kindness every day. A life of genuine love, not a shallow or a fragile kind of love. Imagine a life where we experience the power of God in our daily reality. Or a life where we're always rejoicing, or where we possess everything. So when we hear this, we might say, "Yes, Paul, that sounds great. Count me in, sign me up, tell me, how can we gain all of these things?" But before we dive in and sign on that dotted line, we have to hear all of Paul says, and he's not shy about this. He's very transparent. He gives us the flip side of these things, right? He gives us this other list. He paints this picture of this incredible life that is possible. But he's honest about the danger involved. He talks about things like afflictions and hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, sleepless nights, riots, hunger, sorrow, having nothing, poor. Paul casts this vision and invites us in to this amazing life, a life fully lived, a life that doesn't accept the grace of God in vain, but goes all in and experiences the fullness of all that God has for us. But it comes with this disclaimer to live this life that Paul is inviting us into, to experience this fully lived existence means risk. It means risking something. And we want to play it safe, I think, right? We want to protect and insulate ourselves from pain and from hardship. So much of our culture and our lives is focused on mitigating risk, on keeping ourselves or those we love safe. We have things like insurance policies, and we make good informed decisions, right? We want to keep things with as little risk as possible. We don't want to walk too close to the fire, too close to the edge. We want to know it will all be okay at the end of the day. And that's fine. That's a good thing. That's a good and a comfortable life. That's even a faithful life. But Paul seems to be saying, I'm inviting you to consider the possibility of something even more. I want to invite you to see and imagine what's possible when we dare to follow Christ in a more vulnerable way, opening our hearts even wider to this love of God and our whole lives fully open to what God has. When we go all in with grace, when we go all in with trusting and following Christ with all that we have and all that we are, it seems to require this vulnerability. It seems that there's a high likelihood that we will at some point get hurt along the way. And we see that to be true in Paul's life, right? He talks about that very openly with the Corinthians. We also see, though, the fruit of his life and his ministry and all that he was able to do in Christ's name. We risk pain, we risk disappointment, we risk disruption, but when we do, it seems that we also increase our capacity for joy and for holy possibilities. It seems that the more we risk following Jesus down paths that are untrodden or unclear, the more we see an increase in the possibility of experiencing the power of God in our lives. Someone after last night's service talked to me about a phrase that stuck with them. They said that trust is found and trust is learned when we have experienced risk and come through the other side okay. I thought that was very prudent. So it makes me wonder, when have we stepped out in faith, leaned into the grace of God and taken a risk and then seen it come out okay or even wonderful on the other side? One of the strategic planning teams that I'm working on is we have 9 initiatives moving forward right now. One of those that I work closely with is the mission trips team. And as we've been talking about this and what this means for Good Shepherd, I've heard so many stories about people who have said, I never thought I could do something like that, to travel so far away or to give a week of working in a different culture. I heard so many stories about people who didn't think they could do it or didn't even want to do it, but then they stepped out in faith because they sensed God was calling them. And they had to suspend all the logical, sensible parts of their mind and their worries. They had to put those on hold to go, but when they did, they came back changed. Maybe you're one of those people. They talked about how they experienced the breadth and the depth and the scope of God's love in ways they never thought possible. I remember the first time when I had the opportunity to travel to Tanzania when I was in college. I got really excited about it, so I signed up quickly, and then I decided I should tell my parents about that later, and I called home, and I told them I was all excited. I'm going to Tanzania. Mom and Dad, isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? And my mother wanted no part of this business. It was too risky for her son. It was too dangerous, she said. She was convinced the risk was too high. I was going to get sick. I was going to get lost. I was going to get eaten by a lion. There were all of these things that she was convinced would go wrong, but I went. Did I experience financial challenges by doing so? Yes. Did I miss out on some other educational opportunities because I took time for that? Yes. Did a challenge and change my relationships? Yes. Was it worth it? More than I ever could have imagined because I came back changed. What is some place in your life where you've risked when you sensed God was calling? Maybe it's way back when you first asked out that person who's now your spouse all these years later, took a risk and saw the fruit of that risk. Maybe it's a time when you sensed God was calling you to move across the country with your family for work or for school, and you took that risk and went out on the limb and you've seen the fruit of that work, of that faithfulness. Paul invites us to step out boldly in faith, But he warns us about the danger and the risk involved, but also paints a picture of some beautiful promises. At the end of our Corinthians text today, he said this: "We're treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying, and see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything." So I wonder, as we hear these words from Paul, what is God calling you to risk? Where is God calling you to step out on the water, even though a storm may come? I mean, think about this text we heard in our gospel reading today. Imagine if those disciples had never risked getting in the boat that night. I mean, they were fishermen. They would have known that the storm was possible out on that horizon, but they got in the boat anyway. If they had never done that, they wouldn't have experienced the storm and therefore wouldn't have experienced the power of God revealed when Christ came and calmed that storm in their midst. Without going to prison in Athens, Paul and Silas never would have experienced the power of God shaking the foundations of that jail, breaking wide the doors and their shackles from their ankles, and then saving the jailer and his whole family as they came to faith. Where is God calling us to step out in faith? Maybe it's to share a word of faith or a prayer or a word of hope with someone you work with that you sense is going through a struggle and a hard time, but you're not sure about their beliefs, so it's a little uncomfortable to bring it up. Maybe it's boldly stepping out and forging a new relationship with someone in your neighborhood or your community that you don't know that well, you've never really talked to, but sense they could use a caring friend. Maybe it's inviting someone to worship, to come to church here at Good Shepherd, to experience the beauty of this life and community that we know to be true here for us. Is it dangerous? Is it risky? Is it uncomfortable? Yes, but the possibility is so worth it. Friends, if we want to experience this life that Paul invites us into, we have to be willing to risk some things. If we want to experience the fullness of God's power and grace, then I'm going to have to trust and walk by faith and not by sight, as Pastor Amy talked about last week. Because faith is not certainty. Faith is trust. Trusting and then walking directly into the fog of uncertainty because we sense God is calling us. So what will we risk? Amen.